from NPR, National Public Radio.
From Boston, says you. A game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy. Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome to the Carriage House of the Codman Estate in Lincoln, Massachusetts for Says You, our simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He is the very model of a radio monologist, Mr. Tony Khan. He's full of facts and figures, and he won't need an apologist, Mr. Barry Nolan. And quips and quotes are in her blood, just query her phlebotomist, Miss Francine Ackbar. Led by
Mr. Khan.
Mr. Khan will lead. To my left, team two. In matters fact or fiction, he's a veritable catalog, Arnie Reisman. WBZ-TV calls her consumer demigod, Paula Lyons, and she's known as pun and funster and would never, ever pettifog, Miss Carolyn Faye Fox. Captain tonight by?
Miss Pettifog.
Miss Fox. Yes.
Our game is played in five rounds. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin with a category from Mr. Philip Salkin titled Express Yourself. Remember the old Dobie Gray song?
Yeah.
For 10 points, simply answer the following questions about common expressions and their origins. Mm. Carolyn? Who pressed the first panic button?
Who pressed the first panic button? Okay, Arnie, you may use your brain now. Mr. Catalog, we're counting
well,
on you.
Ducked out pretty
Who
early.
Who pressed there. The first panic button?
Where do you think that comes from?
Panic button.
I'm assuming it has nothing to do with nuclear war.
Well, in a peripheral way, maybe.
Are we talking science here? Is that
In a way, yes.
In a way. What's in a way?
You were right with the warfare aspect
with the,
of
with
it.
The warfare. So the first panic button, the first time it was actually...
Yeah, warfare, that's you.
The Soviets, for some reason?
Well, no.
There was the makers of one of the first computers, I think, were fooling around, and somebody actually did install one as a joke.
We have a stumper right off the bat.
Yes. Right off the bat.
Jet fighter pilots in the Korean War coined this very apt phrase when they started using ejection seats to bail out of stricken aircraft.
Okay.
They would hit the panic button.
And Richard, you thought I'd know this. Why?
I don't know. Thought I'd give it a shot.
Moving right along.
Tony.
Yeah.
What was the first profession to get the hang of something?
Well, maybe hanging clothes on dummies.
Exactly.
Would that be right?
You want to go just a step further?
Hanging out with dummies?
Yeah. No. 10 points, yes. Hanging out with dummies is correct. Tailors and seamstresses had to get the right hang of garments and curtains before the customers were satisfied. Very good, Tony. Arnie, sleep tight and don't let the bed bugs bite actually was practical advice. Why?
Because bed bug bites itch.
Yes, they do.
Sure do.
And so they had to wrap themselves pretty tightly in their sheets and blankets.
It sounds like more
to keep the bugs out. How about that?
No, but there's some creativity points involved there. Definitely.
That's good.
Sleep tight.
And don't let the bed bugs bite. I think there's some help from the other side. Any thoughts on that side?
My daughter, Lainey, gave me a clue that back in the days when they had the early off the floor beds, the bed mattress was supported by rope.
You are exactly correct.
To sleep tight, you had to make sure those ropes were knotted and nice and tight to keep you from sagging.
That's exactly right.
Ropes.
Instead of bed slats, you used to string a rope crisscross across
the
bed
frame.
Could
I add to that, Richard, that actually this leads to the term tying one on, which is another form of sleeping tight.
Yeah. Well, and, of course, the bed bug part of the equation is they slept on straw mattresses, which is, is a very good medium. Yeah. Francine, riding roughshod over someone or something is very specific in origin and somewhat nasty in practice. Why?
Riding roughshod.
Roughshod must be referred to the way you shoe a horse, right?
Yes, it does.
And it's a quick, dirty way to roughshod is for riding over rocks and
I'm going to give you 6 points because you're getting the horseshoe aspect of it. Any help from the other side?
It's not trampling over your enemy?
It is, in fact, riding, you know, trampling nastily over.
Well, that we knew.
Roughshod would be a thing that you would put on a horse's hooves so that you would use the horse as a weapon in battle by having it step with something pointy and nasty on the fallen enemies.
Well, I'll give him another 2 points because I like his creativity. It's not right.
It's without having horseshoes on, though.
No, when nails were left protruding. From a horse's shoes when they were roughshod, it provided great footing for the horse, but it ripped the trail to shreds.
Hmm. Oh,
so that's what riding roughshod comes from.
I'm not optimistic.
No. Let's see. Why do we call them eye teeth, and why would you give them up for something only very valuable?
Well, the eye teeth are, but I don't know why they call them eye teeth. They are the pointed teeth on either side of your front teeth, and you need them to
the bicuspids, actually.
Yeah, so you need them. So why they are called eye teeth?
Any thoughts from that side?
Unless it means that they are essential in some way.
Because you have two eyes, and bi means two. Bicuspid, you have two cuspids and you have two eyes.
There's some serious creativity points there. Has nothing to do with the truth, but no.
Oh, well.
Any help from the other side?
I think they originally called eye cuspids.
See that pause there when you didn't really know whether to laugh? Isn't that interesting? Anybody from the audience have any idea?
Incisor?
Exactly. They are located directly under the eyes. That's why they are called that. They're the hardest teeth to extract, and given the state of dentistry when this phrase originated, you can understand why that would have been a painful sacrifice. But a lot of creativity points. Give them 7 points. Give them 8 points for that.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it. Barry, if everything is socked in, what aren't you able to do, and where would I ever get a term like that?
If it's socked in, it means that the ceiling or the overcast is so low that you can't see to fly by visual rules. And I would imagine that it also makes it so moist that the windsock that normally would show you which direction you would want to take off and land from is just going bleh.
10 points. Whoa. It's not... It's not exactly correct, but I love that. But I love that he got the windsock. It is the only piece of weather equipment that early airports had was the windsock, and it could indicate wind speed and direction. If conditions were so bad that you couldn't even see the windsock on the pole, you could only see from the sock in, you weren't about to be going anywhere. Let's go on to round two, the first of the Says You bluffing rounds, played with a little musical help from our friends, the Dactyls. Carolyn, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one will have the actual definition. The other two will get blank cards. They'll have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot good enough to fool Tony's team. 10 points are up for grabs. To Tony, if he can sniff out the truth, or to you, Carolyn, if he cannot. A few seconds, musically enhanced, to come up with a definition for the word haimsucken. H-A-I-M-S-U-C-K-E-N. Haimsucken. Folks?
2, 3. From vapor to paper, Says You is now in print. Information about our first book, Says Us, Scripts and Quips from Says You, is available on our website at www.saysyou.org. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U, all one word. And with the book, a CD featuring highlights from our early years. If you can call a collection of bad puns, groaners, and triple entendres highlights. You can find out about the book, the CD, and upcoming show events, all at www.saysyou.org.
We've had a few moments with the word haimsucken. We'll go first to Carolyn.
All right, haimsucken. Just as we all have a certain fear, whether it's a something scary under the bed, a boogeyman under the bed, or a monster in the closet, what we're really afraid of is Hamesuckin'. It is, Hamesuckin' would be being assaulted in your own house, I guess by a Hamesucker, which would make you the Hamesucky. I'm just reading what's on the card.
I'm sorry, Hamesucking is the person who is attacked in his or her own home, Hamesucking.
I think Hamesucking would be the act, the Hamesucker would be the perpetrator, the Hamesucky would be the unfortunate victim.
Okay.
Who was assaulted in his or her own house.
Call 911, there's a Hamesucking at...
Arnie?
Well, let's see. It says here that it's originally a sheath or scabbard worn by Hessian soldiers. Now the name given a Viennese pastry made in the form of the sheath and usually served on holidays.
A pastry in the form of a Hessian scabbard.
It's a sheath bar.
Sheath bar.
Right. Sheath bar.
Sheath not crunch, right.
No.
Paula, Hamesucking.
Well, this is believed to have been named for Hans.
Hans Hames.
And it is word is Hessian in origin, grew up in Germany, and it simply refers to an act of treason.
Act of treason.
Act of treason. A Hessian scabbard type pastry situation.
It's an act of treacle.
And being assaulted in one's own domicile.
I think it's the baking pastry. The pastry.
Yeah, we thought that it had a kind of a food origin for sure.
I think because it was so awkward, it could only have been Carolyn's.
Excuse me?
No, I think she was left with a weird real life definition.
Right.
And she
right.
tried to dress it up a little bit to make it sound like a bluff.
It's true. She does usually come up with her own stuff much more clever than that. So.
See how far we've
gone. I'm thinking that it is the home assault.
No, oh, we need a consensus.
No. We do not agree. We right. think that it has to do with eating something.
I'm going to go with the...
While my children are young, yeah. Tony.
Hey. Well, okay, the pastry. They're and I want to give Barry the opportunity to say I told you so, in Hessian, if necessary.
But they're going with the pastry. Mr. Reisman, was that the proper definition?
Originally a sheath or scabbard. No, Barry can say I told you so.
Oh, well, listen. It says Hamesucking, the crime of assaulting a person in his own house.
10 points. Very good.
All right.
Hamesha means home.
Of course.
I should know. Because Hame is from home.
Yeah.
Barry, you're right.
Old English.
Too bad.
Glenn Brooks of Seattle, Washington, hears us on KUOW. He liked our category of cryptic city names, so this week he joins the fray. From the convoluted clues and obscure references, please tell me what U.S. city is brought to mind by the following. An example, 2,000 pounds of laundry.
Washington.
Washington, yes.
That's the only one I'm going to get.
It's actually 2,000 pounds of dirty laundry.
Yeah.
WETA, are you still there?
Yeah. Carolyn, try this one.
Okay.
Sell Miss Thurman door to door.
Sell Miss Thurman door to
Uma.
Door to door. Uma. What do you
what
say? Uma. Fuller Brush. Uma.
City.
Avon.
Sell
Uma.
Miss Thurman
Girl Scout Cookie.
Petaluma.
Petaluma. Thank you, Paula.
10 points.
Excellent.
Petaluma. Sell door to door pedal and Uma Thurman Petaluma. Very good.
Who knows why?
Tony.
Sheboygan.
10 points. No matter what. Tony, brand name beach waffle.
Brand name beach waffle. brand name beach, maybe.
No,
brand name, a beach waffle.
Beach waffle. Yes.
I am a beach waffle. I've been called a beach waffle.
Beach waffle.
Beach Sandy name. Something.
Sandusky?
Sandusky, Ohio?
No.
No. Sand, okay, brand name.
San Diego.
That's a legitimate 10 points of ever.
Ego.
Ego.
San
Diego. All right.
Ego. Ego. Sandy Ego.
You know, you gotta love it when the audience is mumbling and rolling their eyes.
You know, I would like an explanation.
A brand name beach waffle is a Sandy Ego.
Sandy Ego. It's a brand name.
And if you think all of that was bad, wait till you get this.
Oh, we will get it? Go ahead.
Arnie,
here it comes.
This starts playwright Edwards' vehicle.
Playwright Edwards.
Edwards.
This
Albee.
Starts this playwright starts. Edwards' vehicle.
Okay, Edward Albee.
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 Mr. Nolan is writhing in pain on the other side.
Oh, he's got it all right.
Good.
This starts his vehicle.
Albee. What would start a car? Key Albee? Albee Key? Albuquerque!
Albuquerque. Very good. Keep going. Whoa!
Struggle through.
Albuquerque.
This starts playwright Edwards' vehicle as Albuquerque. Albuquerque.
Boy, did that hurt. Albuquerque.
Francine, transgress repeatedly during the afternoon social.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Cincinnati.
See, high tea. Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. Hey.
10 points. Cincinnati is correct. Cincinnati. Very good.
Oh, gosh.
Paula, this one's miserably unfair. Hitters makeup, perhaps.
Hitters?
Yes. H-I-T-T-E-R apostrophe S. Hitters makeup.
Makeup.
Perhaps.
Hitters? Bass? Is bass in there?
Nope. The audience is...
Hitters makeup.
Hitters.
What's a
makeup? Okay. Baseball.
Battle Creek, Michigan. No.
Hitters makeup.
Well, you're getting there.
Well, Ronnie, what do you call
right?
it when makeup? A hitter gets a makeup hit? Bat. What do you call
what?
That?
Bat. Oh, I was thinking of foundation.
Batter's
box.
Batter's.
Batter's.
It seemed to be coming a little.
Bat.
Coming
swing.
Up a little short here.
And batterman.
Okay. Any help from the other side?
Base.
May
Beige
I turn?
Beige Ruth.
Beirut.
While you're getting there, how about I turn to the entire audience for
Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge. Yes. Baton Rouge.
Oh.
Of course. Yeah. Baton Rouge. Everybody got it.
You know, we're gonna have to change the format of this show.
Back to
Batting Rouge or Baton Rouge. Very good. And finally, Barry.
The audience didn't help. That was most unfair. All you had to do was whisper among yourselves, and I'd have gotten it. Now I know where to look.
And Barry, talk idly while blowing the car horn. Talk idly while blowing the car horn. Ooh, shh.
Yeah.
The audience.
Talk honking. Something honking. Wee hawking.
Wee hawking.
Wee hawking.
Letting.
The other side knows this
honking.
One.
Wee. Honking. Is it honking?
No, it is not. Talk idly while blowing the car horn.
Chattanooga.
Chattanooga.
Chattanooga. 10 points. Very good. To talk idly while blowing the car horn is to chat and ooga. Chattanooga. Let's go on to round four. Which is Tony's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Carolyn, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word afflocked. A-F-L-O-C-H-T. Afflocked. Folks?
Eat up hours of free time that otherwise could be spent ironing or changing the washers in the basement sink, why not check out our website at www.sayu.org. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U, all one word. You can ask us questions, contribute questions, order books, CDs, tickets, or simply fall asleep with your cheek on the keyboard. Everything in good fun at www.sezyou.org.
Thank you very much, folks, for giving us a few moments with the word afflat. We will go first to Tony.
It's actually the German misspelling of Ben Affleck's last name. You can often see it on marquees all over
Baton Rouge.
Hesha. Hesha. No, it actually, it is from more or less that part of Europe. It's a version of succotash that the Swiss, I believe it's Swiss. Let's call it Swiss succotash. It's a stew of lima beans, string beans, and lamb.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Limas and lamb. You don't like limas
and
lamb.
Swiss succotash.
Versuch nicht, das auflacht.
Francine.
Nein.
It's not that.
No.
No.
Oh.
You might remember the old Saturday Night Live routine. It's a lot like verklempt. Very much like verklempt and somewhat Germanic, and it means to be agitated, a flutter, a twitter.
I'm all afflocked.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Barry?
Well, Francine did a pretty good job of guessing what the real definition is, because it is frightened into a state of paralysis. When he told me how much the kugel would cost, I was afflocked.
Afflicted and offended.
Yes.
So we're either scared stiff, we're all a twit, or we're eating Swiss succotash. Carolyn, what do you think?
Eating Swiss succotash could cause either of those reactions. You know, I would... Frightened into a state of paralysis, though...
You're frightened into a state of...
Yes.
The only thing that sounded normal, actually, of all of them.
Yeah. You don't think just sort of all a Twitter from Francine afflocked?
I think that was a... Well, I think it was a deliberate diversion.
A deliberate diversion?
That's my guess.
They would do that?
It could be all a Twitter without all the antipasto that came with it. I don't, it's possible.
Antipasto. We are Swiss succotash. Antipasto. We are
Swiss
all over the map here. Swiss
succotash. Sounds like an oxymoron to me.
Yeah, there's no such... animal.
Right. Well, who knows? But and do a state of paralysis or a Twitter. You're the captain.
But paralysis? I don't think so.
You've never heard of people being unable to move? They're so frightened?
I have never heard of a flocked.
Well, who's heard of any
That's
of these
the point of this whole round, Carolyn.
Well, I don't know. It's between Francine and Barry.
Right.
And
you're the captain.
Wait.
Oh, dear.
I'm sucking.
But yes, but
the decision?
We'll go with Barry, just, I don't know why.
Barry.
To end the misery, okay?
Barry, they're scared stiff to go with you.
A flocked is the opportunity to gloat because it's not the real definition.
Ah.
10 points of what?
Oh, gosh.
And I'd like to know, what is so incredible about
Swiss
succotash?
Is it Swiss?
Of course not. I'm just wondering so I can improve my act the next time.
I say, yes.
Francine.
Who had
Carolyn?
The right...
You remember you used to say this is either intuitive or counterintuitive?
Yeah.
And I went counterintuitive.
Well, you went wrong.
Oh. Yeah.
It is Twitter. In a flutter, agitated, much like verklempt.
Very good. In a flutter and agitated.
Oh,
very good.
Beautiful.
Let's go on to round 5, which we call the envelope, please. For what are the following medals and awards given?
Uh-oh.
Carolyn, what would you have done to deserve a Randolph S. Caldecott medal?
Caldecott, the
You
children's...
wrote a wonderful children's book.
Thank you, Paula. I wrote a wonderful children's book.
Well, you're...
And illustrated.
That's
and illustrated
the same point.
It, right.
She wrote
and illustrated.
It's actually the Children's Illustrated Book Award is the Caldecott Award. Very good. Tony, what would you have done to deserve a Hugo?
Well, that's for refusing to read a Caldecott winner and reading a science fiction book, especially if you wrote it yourself.
10 points. Very good. It is for achievement in science fiction. Excellent. They get harder now. Arnie, even though it's all showbiz, no Oscar, Emmy, or Tony winner would ever have a shot at a Patsy Award. Why?
Isn't that for animals?
10 points. Very good.
Animals and showbiz.
Possibly know this.
Or for illustrated science fiction. It's one of the others.
Arnie received 3 of them for his work in television.
Yeah, that's true.
Hollywood dog.
What is it?
No, we call
it.
You ever had lunch
3 of them.
His Patsy Award performance. You saw it here.
Yes.
Heard it here.
It is for the top performing animal in television and motion pictures, the Patsies. Francine, the Junos.
It's for name dropping.
Juno.
Juno.
Juno. Juno. Juno.
This? Do you know that?
Juno.
I know Barbara Streisand. I know her.
I think you might turn to the scorekeeper for some help here.
The Canadian Music Awards?
It is, in fact, the Canadian Grammys. Yes, very.
Wait a minute.
The scorekeeper wins.
Yes, the scorekeeper. The Junos are the Canadian Grammys, and since it was answered by her daughter, we'll give her 5 points.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is that spelled N-E-A-U, or is it
J-U-N-O, apostrophe S. The Junos are the Canadian Grammys. Paula.
Yes.
The Hugh M. Hefner Award.
It's making me sit a little straighter.
I'm embarrassed to say I know that.
I have no... The Hugh Hefner...
We're not surprised.
The Hugh Hefner Award, I don't know.
Is it for...
It's probably more for civil liberties than anything else.
Oh, do you think it is for being anti-censorship? Would that make sense? For protecting the right of free speech?
Yes,
free speech.
Very good. It recognizes achievements in the furthering of free speech, whether by publishing or whatever.
Oh,
very good.
That makes sense.
And finally, Barry, the Smithsonian gives out the Langley Award for Merit, named for a pioneer in this field.
Tony, that's the kind of thing you'd know.
Langley, is it a design in aeronautics, or is it an aeronautical pioneer?
It is aviation sciences. Very good.
Yeah.
The Langley Award is given for aviation sciences. That 10 points gives you a total of 93, and on this week, a winning total. Congratulations, Tony. Yay. That's all. That is all we have time for this week. Schur and Salkin, the writers, Robin Moore and Ray Fallon, faithfully record. We leave you this week with our word for the day, eclipse, which, as we all know, is what an English barber does. Well, I'm glad I didn't use subdued. See you next week.
Creation of WGBH Radio and Pippin and Finch, Boston. Support for Says You comes from this and other NPR member stations. And the Pew Charitable Trusts, investing in ideas, returning results. www.pewtrust.com.
Support also comes from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, making grants to improve the health and health care of all Americans. On the web at rwjf.org. And the Kellogg Foundation, helping people help themselves by investing in individuals, their families, and their communities. On the web at www.wkkf.org.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.